God is very, very precise. We can make many, many examples of where the precision of his expression is astonishing with 20/20 hindsight.
This is men trying to bring God down to their level of understanding, which is based on what they can see. And that totally debunks the entire premise of the Bible, which is by faith. Jesus Christ taught it. You've hidden it from the wise and learned, revealed it unto babes. Thomas, you believe because you've seen, but blessed is he who has not seen and believed. Faith is being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we do not see. When you go looking for faith with your eyes, your faith is going to fail. All these men that have spent all this time and all this pride looking, and here God comes along and says, Michael, I'm going to give you, who's not even looking for it, greater evidence of my hand in the flood than any paleontologist, geologist, archaeologist that's ever lived has ever had, in spite of the fact that they've given themselves over to death to find it. I'm going to put it in your life and show you because you honored me.
Right now, there are some of the most amazing videos that you could ever imagine that are on this side of a telescope looking up into the universe trying to find either proof of God or disproof of God. Right now, there are people all over the world, archaeologists digging in Jerusalem and Egypt and various sites around the world looking for more and more evidence from thousands of years ago, the time of Christ, to prove that there is a God and that the one true God is the Judeo-Christian God, the God of the Holy Bible.
Somebody torch. Yeah. Okay.
Does this bit of melted mud brick authenticate the biblical story? Our first piece of evidence in the search for Joshua.
Right now, there are millions and millions of people who are following the New Age movement coming out of Eastern mysticism who believe, no, you all you people who claim that there is a personal God are wrong. And this is why so many of you are confused and running in different directions. The real truth is you haven't discovered the three magic words. You are God. God is inside of you. The atheist looks at all the rest of the religions and the denominations, and he rightfully so concludes most of us are absolute foolish idiots believing in a fantasy, and the truth is most of us are.
God has not revealed himself to me. Even if he did, I'm not sure how I could be confident that it wasn't just some kind of delusion reinforced by my desires or my culture.
And so he concludes there is no God.
If God is speaking to all of you, then he appears to be telling all of you very different, contradictory things. If God's message to us was so dire, so vitally important, then why wouldn't he give it to us in such a clear and precise way so that we would all be in agreement, as evident as a simple math problem in which there is universal agreement?
It's the equivalent of walking into a Chinese counterfeit factory and concluding that there is no such thing as a real Coach wallet or a real Burberry purse because you've just seen 10,000 fake ones.
How much for these Dolce & Gabbana's?
The jeans. You know, this quality is the same like the original one. Original one about like 2,000 some last batch.
I can get the real thing for this price.
Real champion. This is similar to the real champion.
Similar to the real champion? Yeah.
I'm going to submit to you that the greatest evidence you can find on the entire internet is not on this side of a telescope looking up. It's not on this side of a shovel digging down. It's not on this side of a microscope looking down into the cells of body. It's going to be in a video like this, and an absolute nobody who humbled himself before God, who was willing to basically bring my pride down and choose to believe that the Bible is true and follow the teaching of Jesus Christ in John 7:17, where he says, if anyone in the world chooses to do God's will by putting the words of Christ into practice, which takes humility and faith to do so, that person will find out. Brothers and sisters, I've been talking about finding out for years. I've been talking about since 2014 and 2016 in India that there was a darkness coming on this world long before it's come on the world like it is today. I've been warning that days were coming where it's going to be very difficult to believe that God even exists, much less to actually follow him, and that you needed to know him. You needed to have an experience that if little green aliens landed and said to you that we were all just an experiment 10,000 years ago and we've finally come to tell you your true existence, what do you have in your faith in God that will stand up under something like that?
Andrew Davison of the University of Cambridge told the Times UK he was one of 24 theologians in a NASA-sponsored program at Princeton's Center for Theological Inquiry in 2016 and 17. The program examined how major religions would likely respond if humankind encountered extraterrestrials. He asks whether Jesus, as understood by Christianity, is unique or could be one among many incarnations on different worlds.
What do you have in your faith in God that will stand up to the fact that they've just sent a telescope into space that's 100 times more powerful than the Hubble telescope, and they're claiming to be able to see back to the time of "It is written, in the beginning was God"? What is your faith going to do, not only when the world falls apart, but when I have warned for years something was going to come in science or astrology that would seemingly disprove that God existed, and by the time it was done, you would have to be seen as one of the greatest idiots on the planet to believe in this Bible nonsense and Jesus Christ nonsense? I want to ask you this one question. That's all I want to ask you. At the end of this video, be prepared to answer this question. You believe what you believe right now about God, whether he exists or he doesn't, about many gods or one God. And I just want to ask you a question. How do you know?
All hail the sun. All hail the sun.
And do you have more evidence about your God or your beliefs therein or your beliefs that he doesn't exist than I do that the only true God is the God of the Holy Bible? Elijah went before the people and said, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Allah, Vishnu, the Catholic Jesus, the Mormon Jesus, the mega church Jesus, or the universe is God, follow him. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. The God who answers by fire, he is God." Then all the people said, "What you say is good." Your death is coming. You are going to die. And the Bible says it is appointed for you to die once, and after that to face judgment. The Bible says that it is a fool who says in his heart, "There is no God." The Bible says there is a devil in this world, a Satan figure, who leads the entire world astray through counterfeits of religion, counterfeits of believing there is no God, counterfeits of believing there's 300 million gods. I ask you and implore you and plead with you, as somebody who has suffered for my God in ways that very few people have ever seen or considered suffering before, I beg of you in the name of Jesus Christ to listen to this story and be willing to swallow your pride and to be honest. And particularly if you're a Christian and you're calling yourself by the name of this God, I'm going to ask you this question. Do you know him, or do you know about him? Are you calling him Lord and living as if you are God? Please, I just ask you, are you willing, before you watch the rest of this video, are you willing to be honest and look at facts? Because I'm going to show you facts, and I'm going to say it again. This is, single-handedly, the greatest evidence of God and the Holy Bible and the living Jesus Christ, and that the Word of God, the Holy Bible, is the only word that's ever been written from the true God who can save your soul from your sins through the person of Jesus Christ, who died on a cross 2,000 years ago, shedding his blood to atone for all the wickedness and evil that you see in men today. It is the only word of God. And I would implore you and plead with you to show me. Please help me. Show me, is there any video, is there any evidence anywhere in the world that you can show me greater than what you will see in this video? I cannot think of anything more sensational to say this, and if I've got your attention, please now bear with me and be patient, and let's walk through this story that I believe could be the most life-changing video you've ever seen, whether you're a Christian who already believes and you're not following and experiencing this God yet like you should, or you're an atheist who believes all of us are just simply idiots believing a fairy tale. This can be, if you have a little bit of humility and you are honest, the most life-changing video you will ever see, as it comes to your belief about God and what you believe on the entire internet. Please prove me wrong. If you know and believe differently than I do about your God or your gods or your lack thereof, I want to ask you a question. When you watch this video at the end, how do you know?
It turns out the number of days between the decree of Artaxerxes Longimanus on March 14th of 445 BC and the triumphal entry on April 6th of 32 AD is 173 1,880 days. What was Gabriel's margin of error? Zero. Gabriel told Daniel the precise day that the Messiah would present himself as a king to Jerusalem. And he did. How did Jesus arrange that? To have that in the book of Daniel, etc. But at the other side of the coin, let's also be sensitive to the fact that God is very, very precise. We can make many, many examples of where the precision of his expression is astonishing with 20/20 hindsight, recognizing that the purpose of prophecy is not to predict the future, but to glorify him when the future happens. There's a big difference.
Now for the grand finale. What was it that God showed me that day in the woods that brought me to the ground in tears in such dramatic fashion? I already showed you the perfect match to the 40s and 7s in the Genesis flood. And I already showed you the perfect match to the two periods of 150 days. I also already showed you a connection to the 227, the day Noah came out of the ark, and the day God showed me I had been wrong about being totally wrong, which also happened for me on 227. Next, we need to know that 1 year in the Old Covenant was 360 days, not 365. So the total flood story, not including God telling Noah 7 days in advance, lasted from 217-600 for the 600th year of Noah to 227-601. That is exactly 370 days. The floodwaters prevailed on the earth for 150 days, and they receded from the earth for 150 days, for a total of 300 days. This means Noah stayed in the ark for another 70 days after the waters had receded on day 300. From April 23rd, 2020, to September 20th, 2020, the day Esther the chicken had laid those four other eggs after not laying for 90 days, adding to her first three eggs for a total of seven, happened exactly 150 days after she left our home. The next 150 days ended on February 16th, the day I received the congratulations letter in the mail for her green card. That leaves 70 remaining days in order for it to be a perfect match of the entire flood story in Genesis. February 16th, 2021 was day 300 for me. Plus 70 days is April 27th, 2021. So, did God really do this? Was all of this just the craziest coincidences I had ever seen in my life? Or was God going to go the whole way and match every single part of this story to every detail in the Genesis flood account to show that he indeed was behind all of this? So, did anything significant happen on April 27th, 2021 that would in some way seem to be a spiritual parallel event to Noah finally coming out of the ark to start his new life after all that death? Of course it did. And that's what God used to bring me to the ground in tears that day in the woods in absolute shock and unbelief.
September 23rd, 2021, 7:36 in the morning.
I mean, when I look at how many things God has done, 70 days later is when God brings Noah out of the ark. You know, that's a really interesting thought. I need to look into and see the time between what that date was that signified the end of the 300 days and when I actually began to speak to or be connected to Lisa. There might very well be something there. I'm not sure. I need to look into that and see. Oh my God in heaven, I think I'm gonna pass out. Oh my God in heaven. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh Lord. Oh my God, I cannot believe this, Father. I can't believe
Oh my God, oh my God, it's just so... Oh man, hope nobody comes out here.
So, did anything significant happen on April 27th, 2021 that would in some way seem to be a spiritual parallel event to Noah finally coming out of the ark to start his new life after all that death?
This is one of those moments where your eyes cannot believe what you just seen. And you just go, there is no way this can happen. And there's no way that the Holy Spirit just gave me this thought. And there's no way you just saw what you saw.
April 27th, 2021, just so happened to be the day that I officially asked Lisa to marry me. And the very day she officially said yes. A perfect match to the Genesis 7 and 8 flood story. The day I finished editing all of this video, I discovered a second astonishing connection to March 5th, 2019, the day Persis legally separated from me. The first being 777 days later to the day that I posted the video about letting her go. It turns out the number of days between our Noah's Ark visit on May 9th, 2017 and March 5th, 2019 was exactly 666 days.
God is very, very precise. We can make many, many examples of where the precision of his expression is astonishing with 20/20 hindsight. And so, recognizing that the purpose of prophecy is not to predict the future, but to glorify Him when the future happens, there's a big difference.
God has literally taken the book of Genesis, chapter 7 and 8, and replicated every single date and number that's in that Genesis 7 and 8 and put it in this slash marriage slash divorce slash remarriage story. It ends with Noah coming out of the ark on 2/27, and that happens to be the very day that God vindicated me in the ministry.
When Peter said in 1 Peter 3:15 to always be prepared to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, he did not mean for you to tell them what you learned through a telescope, a microscope, an apologetics conference, or a creation versus evolution documentary. No, he meant something totally different, something so few professing Christians understand or have.
This is all just so beautiful. I am so excited about this insights about the flood, baby. This is incredible. I never realized, honey, that the flood, it just is what that guy Ken Ham said, the poster that says of Satan, if I can convince them the flood never happened or doesn't exist, didn't exist, I can also convince them that heaven and hell don't exist. And there's a picture of a story of a kid that I watched. He's pretty intelligent, skeptical, said he read all the evidence on the flood. And he lost his entire faith in God because of the flood, sweetheart. Isn't that incredible? And his video has been viewed over like a million times. So, oh man, I do hope one day. I tell you, to me, it would be worth a trip to America if we ever pull that off with God's help, just for you to be able to come here and take one walk with me, make the whole loop and just walk the trail with me, even if I have to carry you part of the way. We have to get you in shape in New Zealand first and then let you come. We don't have to walk the whole thing, but it would be so neat to walk this whole trail with you. God has shown me this morning, sweetheart, that I, a weakling, a nobody, okay? A nobody. Not wise and learned. I have more compelling evidence that the flood and Noah's Ark are biblical and true than, sweetheart, any geologist, archaeologist, or paleontologist that has ever lived and devoted their life to has. There is nothing that has been found regarding Noah's Ark and the flood that can be actually said, signed, sealed, delivered. This is not up for debate. The flood actually happened. Oh, there are people who believe that. But the evidence is all given to interpretation. How you interpret it. No doubt there's some compelling things that say, yes, the flood really happened. But the truth of the matter is that there's just as many opinions that show other things. You follow me? And if you simply deal with the issue of the animals, it becomes very difficult to understand that. How did kangaroos get from Turkey to Australia? This is a stumbling block for people about the idea that all the animals went into the ark. And then when the ark landed in the mountains of Ararat, how did the kangaroos traverse the oceans and get there? There's all kinds of things that we don't know, we can't understand, we weren't there. Honey, God has given us through a weakling. And notice how I said, isn't it interesting, sweetheart, that God has hidden all the most important archaeological evidence? You can't find the Holy Grail. You can't find the Ark. You can't find any archaeological evidence at all that Jesus Christ existed. None. Only eyewitness testimony and letters from history. You can't find a crucifixion nail except for one out of the thousands that the Romans crucified. He hides this evidence. He hides it. And what does the Bible say? We are to live by faith, not by sight. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. And then he says, ah, Lord, Father, it has been your good pleasure to hide these things from the wise and learned and reveal them unto babes. Sweetheart, you have men in their pride that have spent millions and millions of dollars and decades of their life searching for evidence to prove or disprove the flood. Right now, there's people traveling all over the world digging, looking. They're spending their lives digging in the dirt rather than looking up to God in simple childlike faith and obedience. Man's pride will not allow him to bend a knee to God until God proves he's worthy of it. An adulterous generation looks for a sign, Jesus Christ said. You see? And here it is. I was not digging for the ark. I'm not trying to prove the flood. I have maintained for years, honey, this is God honoring my words. You got to get this. Sweetheart, this is what God has shown me. Baby, all these years I've been telling people, you are not going to find God on this end of a telescope, looking down through a microscope, or on the backside of a shovel, digging in Jerusalem. That is not where you're going to find the greatest evidence of God. You are going to find the evidence of God through John 7:17. If anyone chooses to do God's will, he will find out. God is not going to allow you to have a faith that's pleasing to him through archaeological, geological, paleontological studies. He's not going to do it, and that's the study of dinosaurs. He's not going to let your faith be pleasing to him. And all these brilliant men that are traveling all over the world that have done some compelling documentaries, honey, this stuff is not pleasing to God. This is the pride of men that says, I made the discovery. My intellect figured it out. I read all the books. I dug with the shovel. I found it. This is men trying to bring God down to their level of understanding, which is based on what they can see. And that totally debunks the entire premise of the Bible, which is by faith. Jesus Christ taught it. You've hidden it from the wise and learned, revealed it unto babes. Thomas, you believe because you've seen, but blessed is he who has not seen and believed. Faith is being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we do not see. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Anyone who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. When you go looking for faith with your eyes, your faith is going to fail. Eventually, it's going to fail. And everything else now that you see, you will not believe it until you see it. Everything else that happens, just like with my mom, I've already explained all this. I'm kind of going down. But baby, look at this. I wasn't looking for any of this. What does the Bible say? God uses the weak to shame the wise and the strong. All these men that have spent all this time and all this pride looking, and here God comes along and says, ah, Michael, I'm going to give you, who's not even looking for it, greater evidence of my hand in the flood than any paleontologist, geologist, archaeologist that's ever lived has ever had, in spite of the fact that they've given themselves over to death to find it. I'm going to put it in your life and show you because you honored me. What did I say? I said, you are not going to be able to have a faith that pleases God if you find him through a telescope, microscope, or the other end of a shovel. I've said it for years, sweetheart. The Holy Spirit was having me warn people that is not the kind of faith that pleases God. I've always been against apologetics. Always. The book, the movie Case for Christ, I don't even believe the guy's a real Christian. I don't. Lee Strobel, I'm totally against it. That is not true faith that you can go spend a 10 or 20 years of your life trying to find all this evidence. Forget about it. There's people that are standing right now before Jesus Christ that in a moment believed and God did more through their life than you'll ever even dream of seeing God do in your life. Mister, I'm going to intellectually prove God exists and look for a sign. Honey, this is not right. I'm telling you, and God has had me be outspoken against it. And then look at what he does. Sweetheart, faith has become sight. Faith has become sight. If you try to build faith out of sight, sweetheart, you will never have a faith that pleases God and that has any use to you whatsoever on the other side of the grave. But if you will believe by faith and humble yourself, eventually faith becomes sight. And honey, this is what men are not willing to do. They're not willing to humble themselves. They're not willing to say, okay, I'm going to be like a child and believe. They're not willing. And you know, instead, they grab a shovel. I'm going to go find it. I'm going to be the guy who discovers it. It's the pride of men, sweetheart, and God will not honor that. And even if you do come up with some holier-than-thou, intellectual-based faith in God, he's not ever going to be pleased with that kind of faith. Pretty remarkable. The fact of the matter is, and people would say, well, look, the Bible says that creation has, you know, given us all this evidence and men are without excuse. Exactly. Long before there was anything known as a geologist, a paleontologist, or an archaeologist, God says, when you walk outside and you see the mountains and you see the clouds and you see the green grass and you see the animals, you are guilty. You've seen evidence of God. That's all the evidence you need to see. All this breaking it down into scientific names, kingdom, phylum, class, order, family, genus, species, and all this kind of stuff. This is all the pride of men. Oh, don't get me started. This is the pride of men, sweetheart. And here it is. I've humbled myself and said, God, look at this, baby. Psalm 131. I have humbled myself. I have weaned myself. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. The universe is too wonderful for us. The paleontology, the archaeology, the study of the flood, these things are too wonderful for man. Nobody has been able to settle on it. For 2,000 years, men have wasted their entire lives coming up with nothing that doesn't fall short of being conclusive. I mean, imagine dedicating your entire life to the study or find of something, and at the end, all you're left is with maybe a smaller question mark, but you still have a question mark. And that's what should be on your tombstone. He almost found it. He almost proved it. And if men would be honest with themselves, I mean, look at this. Go to Albert Einstein. Everybody thought he died a genius and it was so wonderful. He figured it out. And look at this. God turns him into nothing more than an absolute ass and a guesser. And turns out that the theory of relativity is wrong. And men have just continued to search and they find out it's wrong. But yet for I don't know how many years that's been that people have believed it. And Einstein went to the grave as a genius, and he'll be raised as a fool. Men don't believe this kind of stuff. I'm telling you, this is the message. This is the pride. This is the pride. This is the picture of the deer, sweetheart, that God was showing me, how big and strong he was, and he just leaps right in front of me, and he's not afraid of me, etc. Not much. And then 11 months later, I find him dead as a nail in the woods. So dead, there's not even an insect that would give him a time of day. There's nothing left of him to chew on. Pride, I will scatter your bones across the hills. The wild animals will feast on you. God is going to bring the pride of men low. Men think they can come to God and intellectually. Sweetheart, this is exactly what has happened to my mom. I'm excited, baby. God has taken this little tiny nothing life of mine. And he in one moment, sweetheart, he makes foolish all of the thousands of men that have lived that have tried to find evidence of God in these kind of matters. And without me even trying to find it, God says, ah, here it is right here. And gives a greater, more science. If you're just honest, this is a more scientifically provable evidence of the flood than anything that's ever been found. You can't prove that those lodestones were tied to the ark any more than I can prove to you, the Big Bang either was or wasn't. You can't prove it. They're pretty compelling. They're interesting, but it always leaves a question mark. This leaves no question mark. And not only that, you have to believe it by faith. I'm not handing somebody a piece of stone or a piece of wood that I found from the ark. I'm handing somebody the invisible finger of God, pointing back to his own word. In the end times that we're clearly in, he's pointing to the flood, he's pointing to the ark, and he's saying, pay attention. Let him who has ears to hear, hear. Let him who has eyes to see, see. What the Spirit is saying to the church. Pay attention. The flood is coming. All you foolish people reading books and digging and under a microscope and under a telescope and with a shovel in your hand. I'm coming. The implications of the flood then are true now. You're going your own way. You're apostate. You're unbelief. You're living your own lives. You have stolen property. You're going about this, that, and the other, and you're not acknowledging me. You're not humbling yourself before me, and this flood is going to catch you up by a surprise. The end will be the same. Wow. It is incredible, sweetheart. We cannot dismiss this. We cannot go, oh, what a cute little divorce story. This isn't about divorce. God is trying to show he uses the weak and shameful things of this world to shame the wise and learned. What is more weak than Michael Criswell? What is more shameful than divorce twice? You see how completely opposite God does? All these men with their badges and their honors and their degrees and their shovels and their notorieties and their books and their columns and their op-eds and all this kind of stuff. All these men. They have all this. They're revered. Their speeches, their debates, all this kind of stuff. And God comes to this little nothing and gives the greatest evidence of the flood that you, if you're just truly a scientific mind and you're just looking for evidence and you can have faith, any kind of faith at all, because, I mean, it takes faith to believe in evolution because you can't prove it and you can't disprove God. And so everything is left to faith. And if you have just a little faith and you're honest and you look at this, you have to conclude this is the greatest evidence that there was a flood. But, oh, you can only see it if you're willing to have eyes of faith. If you still want to just choose, yeah, this is just some crazy coincidence. This is just some weird thing happening. Well, no matter what, it's just like Jesus. They didn't believe his miracles. Only those who God has enabled. But this is incredible. God is absolutely astonishing in what he's done with this. I don't dare want to shortcut this and rob God of some of his due glory or lessen the amount of awe that he is due through it, sweetheart. That's why I've been trying to be patient and allow this thing. Look, thank God I didn't finish the video last night. Look at what has come to me this morning. And this is incredible. Talk about Galatians 5:25, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. This whole issue, sweetheart, is about men's pride. It is pride that prevents men from having faith. It is when a man wants to assert his intellect and his judgment and his understanding against the, quote, creator, or even the concept of the creator. No. If I can bring you, big fella, big guy in the sky, if I can bring you down to my level and I can perceive and understand how you did all this with the animals, well, then I may give you the time of my intellect. Forget about my heart, but I'll at least acknowledge that you exist, because I know that'll be real pleasing to you, big fella. If people would just speak what's truly in their heart, they would realize how asinine they are. How foolish. From a human understanding perspective, what I'm experiencing is absolute insanity. Look at this. God breaks through all the analytical, brilliant, bean-counting minds all over the world and brings the greater evidence of the flood, not to those who are looking for it, but buries it inside the emotional pool of life where things like suffering and affliction and divorce happen. Shameful things. And God says, here you go. You want evidence? Here it is. It's once again, look at this. God takes the greatest evidence and he hides it in something that's shameful. Can you believe how astonishing this is, sweetheart? I mean, think about it. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, eternal life therein, he hides it inside the crucifix. He hides it inside of this lowly Hebrew man who's going to be nothing. He's homeless. He hides it from people, sweetheart. This is exactly what Jesus Christ is talking about. He says, oh my God, it's been your good pleasure to hide these things from the wise and learned and to reveal them unto babes. He takes everything and he hides it so that it cannot be found by men who are trying to find it apart from him. You can only go and find these things on bended knee before God. You cannot find proof of God in a telescope or under a microscope. You can't. Men can't see it. They can't believe it. They just keep spending money. They just keep taking more travel destinations and more tours. And sweetheart, this is incredible. There's no way for me to put into words the experience I'm having. There's no way for me to describe how big this is. God chose a Mary. You just mentioned Mary, sweetheart. Look how lowly she is. And God chose this little tiny, nothing Hebrew girl. And she was used to hide the creator of the world, sweetheart. She was used to hide the savior of the whole world in her little tiny, humble belly. The king of the universe didn't come through a princess. He didn't come through somebody noble. And it's like, I feel like in some way I can understand what Mary would have felt when she was handed this. And she's handed this incredible gift and this amazing evidence of God. And she must say, who am I? How can I handle the responsibility of this? Men have not understood it, sweetheart. I've understood it. I have understood that it's the pride of men and they don't get it. And they think because they can build a giant wooden ark, and they think because they build the creation museum, and they think they have because of all this money and all this effort, God must be so pleased with them, and they don't understand. They have missed it, sweetheart. God is still working through little Marys, sweetheart, the first Mary. You understand? I'm understanding, sweetheart. God has birthed the greatest evidence of the flood, just like the greatest evidence of his love came through this little tiny know-nothing Hebrew girl, 13 to 14 years old. I'm standing in possession of the greatest scientifically provable, indisputable, irrefutable evidence of the Noah's Ark and flood story being authenticated by God. I'm in possession of it. And who am I? What responsibility? Sweetheart, now can you see why I have stood so strongly against this whole idea, sweetheart? God has confirmed for me and proven for me with this story that I have been right to tell men it is wicked, unbelief, for you to look for God on the backside of Jerusalem, for you to look for God through a microscope, through a telescope. Ask yourself this question. Are any of the people you see doing that, are those the people who are living a life of sacrificial love for Jesus Christ? Do you find any intellectually stimulating archaeologist, geologist, volcanologist, zoologist, whateverologist you want, throw them all into the pan. Do you find any of them that have the humility of a Jesus Christ to lay their life down for other people? No. They're building shows. They're building names. They're writing books. They're starting blogs. They're making documentaries. They're doing all these things to promote their intellectual ascent onto the, quote, truth, onto the evidence. They're not living a life of denying of self, taking up their cross, losing their life to find it. They're not. Sweetheart, it all comes down to the pride of men, sweetheart. This is the message of the deer head that I found on here. This is why God led me to that passage of scripture. This is what's going to happen to the proud intellect of all men who have attempted to have an intellectual assent to the concept, to the idea, or even the person of God, but have not bent a knee in their heart of humility, saying, oh my God, I cannot understand you any more than I can understand the universe, but I accept it by faith. It is those people who find out, and then we that have found out personally, we have the burden of now knowing how many people are trapped in the prison of pride. When I look at that one family member of mine whose faith was born watching a documentary about the Bethlehem Star, and then I took note for the next 7 years that this very enthusiastic, outspoken faith in God was nowhere to be found when real world, boots on the ground, self-denying, cross-carrying, world-hating faith was required. This person would never believe it until after they saw it. And that's because their faith was born based on what they saw, not on what they believed. Without seeing, the righteous shall live by faith. And when we live by faith, eventually, by God's grace, our faith will become sight. But any faith that is based on sight is not a faith that pleases God, and it will never produce a faith that pleases God. It's a bastard faith. It's an illegitimate faith. That's what these people have got to understand. Men have got to swallow their pride. You believe, the second you believe that you can sit before the Bible or any books about the Bible or any archaeological, geological evidence, and you believe that you can find God out, you have failed before you've even begun. If you believe that you can intellectually discover, you can intellectually verify, and you can go and find the evidence, you have failed. This is the flaw of men. God has not... Wow, it's incredible. I don't want to just go on and on about this, but sweetheart, this is incredible. This is incredible. God has buried inside the unbelievably shameful. You see, he hides it. What men are going to ever give credence or give their time to look at the evidence that God has produced for the flood in my life? What men are ever going to spend their time to do that? How many paleontologists, geologists, and archaeologists that would love to find evidence for the flood would be interested in coming and going, wow, this is incredible, Michael. This is the most compelling evidence. I've been on the wrong side of the shovel. This is amazing. Honey, they're not going to do that. You know why? Because they didn't find it. It won't stimulate and enlarge their name, their life, their career. It's not good for their pride. And not only that, but it's shameful. It's shameful. Look at how shameful. God buried it inside of a divorce and remarriage story. He picked one of the most shameful, controversial things in the entire Bible and the thing that's so largely contested today. This whole idea of divorce and remarriage, God hates divorce, and he puts something so unbelievably beautiful inside something shameful. Is it not a picture of a diamond that's pressed around the filth and dirt of coal? something filthy and dirty and black and looks worthless like a black rock on the ground, and inside could be a diamond? How incredible. How incredible is this? You're not going to find any of these people coming to my story. If people really wanted to have proof of God or evidence of God, they would come to a story like this. But that's not what they want. They don't even know the corruptions of their heart. They don't even know their own prideful motives for wanting to find that evidence. Is it so that they can finally die on their cross and lose their life to find it? They can say, oh, now I know God exists. I need to follow Jesus. No, it's not. Man. Wow. I mean, God has really blown my mind with this. God has blown my mind with this. I mean, what do you do? And then I have this sense of, God, the whole world is quick on their way to hell. They're dying every day by the millions, and you've given me this incredible evidence. But yet, sweetheart, it doesn't matter. Still, even only those who have eyes to see will see, and God will hide this from the wise and learned. This is about divorce. This crazy guy, he can't put his life together. Forget it. And they throw it away. And look at this. You judge the book by its cover, if you will. Sometimes you can do it, judging a tree by its fruit. But with God, He uses the shameful, the despised. My God, I understand this better now than I've ever understood it. God has buried this incredible treasure, proof of one of the most important stories, if not the most important story in the whole Bible. Without the flood, there'd been no need for Jesus. God is, look at the insight He's giving me, sweetheart. Look at this. This is a lot more than God just trying to prove to me He did my divorce. He could have done that a lot easier. He could have expended a whole lot less power. This is God, once again, taking something and the likes of the embryo of the Son of Man and placing it inside of this lowly, humble, probably despised, poor Hebrew girl, and hiding the greatest treasure in the entire earth inside the belly of a lowly creature, disguising it where it would never be looked for, where it would be so tripped over. Isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph? You see, we know his mother and father. He came out of the belly of a nobody. He hides the most valuable things and wraps them in some of the most unlikely wrappings and boxes. This is what God has done. This is the way of God, sweetheart. He hides these things from men. This is how men will be doomed. They will spend their whole life looking for God with their eyes, their ears, and their mind, rather than humility and faith, and asking God to reveal Himself to them. They try to bring God down to their level rather than them coming down below Him. You see this, honey? This is pride of men. The pride of man wants to bring God down so that you can ascertain Him and understand Him, put your hands on Him and His stuff at your human level, rather than lowering your spirit, lowering your intellect down to the level that you are, a worm, and saying, God, help me, lift me up in my intellect. Give me reason to believe. Help me to see that you are real. Instead of doing that, man attempts to bring God down, and it fails every single time. They will all be found to have been the greatest fools that have ever lived in the end. Wow, this is incredible. May God bless me to continue to understand and steward this story for His glory. I love you, sweetheart. I'm sorry I kind of poured all this out there on you, but wow, this is amazing, sweetheart. Oh, praise the Lord. I love you so much. I can't wait to talk to you, baby. I got to pray. Bye, my love.